Hey, everybody, this is Steve, your average Joe's fantasy football, and we've got Johnny freaking F1 over here for your IDP trend. So, look, it's been I feel like it's been such a long week, but it really hasn't. But we just had an amazing NFL draft. I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about the reactions, how this is going to play out for obviously your rookie drafts in Dynasty, and of course, even how this may play for your redraft. So we've got a lot of great stuff. We're going to talk some offense again, our reactions, you know, round one through seven, where we love them, where we hate them. And then of course, next week we'll be talking defensive players as well. So how are you feeling tonight? Are you ready for this?
Man, I'm ready. You know, there's a lot of information coming at us fast. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about guys who were at the top of the list. We didn't see them land where we wanted, you know, now it's a different story. So as much as I respect the people who do a lot of research, all that research is out the window now once these guys land. So we're going to go ahead and break that down for you, talking about these offensive rookies. Like Steve said, what it means for their value. And we're excited because we've seen a lot of rookies pop off these last couple of years, especially last year. So this is a really important time if you're a fantasy manager out there. So thank you for rocking with us.
Yeah, and we're not going to talk like the Caleb Williams. We're not going to do any of that. We're not going to bore you guys. We all know how everyone feels in the community, like where some of these players are. We're going to talk some players that maybe, you know, you really haven't heard of that might be able to have some value for you, or some players that maybe were a big name that we, again, like Johnny mentioned, we talked a lot about these players and then they landed somewhere where we weren't super excited about. So hopefully this is going to give you some great information. And again, look, we're not going to stop talking about rookies. We're not going to stop talking about Dynasty. This is some great stuff. Now, before we start off, we want to talk about and, you know, some of the stuff we've got going on at IDP. So we're thrilled to announce we've got a new partnership with One Shop Stop with Expedia. Look, Mother's Day is what coming up May 12th. So with that said, that there is a great opportunity. You can use our description down below in the link to get you guys some opportunities to take your mom out somewhere, maybe give her a weekend away, maybe for your wife, whatever it may be. So again, we've got some great stuff with Expedia. Make sure you guys obviously remember Mother's Day is May 12th. Do not forget. I don't want anybody, you know, getting smacked by their mom or their wife because they forgot. So let's make sure you guys are using that link down below. So we're going to talk round one. We're going to make it simple. All right. Yes, we all know Caleb Williams and Dunze and Marvin Harrison, like great players. But, you know, one player I love that I think not enough people are talking about is Xavier Leggett. I thought him going to Carolina was a smart thing. Right now they get the fifth year option capability for him. And, you know, I know he wasn't the highest ranked when it comes to some of these other players, but I thought this was a good spot for him to land. He gets to stay in the Carolinas, right? He played for South Carolina. Now he gets to play for the Carolina Panthers. I thought this was a really good spot. He's probably one of my favorite players because I've already done some rookie drafts already. I just love the landing spot. I think this is good for him, good for Bryce Young, good for Deontay Johnson. That's probably one of my favorite players as far as a landing spot goes in the round one. What was somebody you liked?
I'll tell you what, I didn't love it, but I do like Brian Thomas Jr. going to Jacksonville. I think there's room for him to grow. He's not somebody who's going to go in there and garner 8 to 10 targets a game, but he is a burner. He can definitely help that offense, and he can help your fantasy team. All he needs is a couple catches, and they pass so much down there in Jacksonville. I think that it's the right landing spot. We did a mock draft a couple weeks ago. We had Neighbors all the way down at 17 to Jacksonville. They didn't get Neighbors, but they got a pretty good rookie in Brian Thomas Jr. So I'm excited for him. The landing spot didn't hurt. I think it could have been better, but I think he's going to be used in an offense right off the bat. So I like this one for redraft and mostly Dynasty too.
Yeah, I actually kind of agree with you. I wasn't sure Brian Thomas Jr. was the right spot for Jacksonville. And the more I look at it and the more I start thinking, like, they absolutely want to help Trevor Lawrence, right? Like, they want to give him the best opportunity. So I think for him going there, I think that just clearly gave this offense, like, we're going to pass the ball. We're going to obviously be someone that's going to give Lawrence the opportunity to really succeed. And I think for him, I think he doesn't have to be put as the wide receiver one. You still got Kirk there. You got Evan Ingram. Like, I thought that was a good move. So I know, you know, I know you mentioned Neighbors and we're not going to really deep dive, but I think a lot of people, even though I've seen a lot of these rookie drafts already, I still think people are high on Neighbors, even though a lot of people hated the landing spot. Now someone I didn't like the landing spot, and I'm not even going to mention will probably make it the obvious, but I didn't love the landing spot for Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
Like Bowers, I thought was, you know, you got an amazing tight end coming into the league, and you saw last year how great tight ends were. You know, that was really a forgotten position when it comes to fantasy. And everyone's super excited, thinking Miami or Cincy or something, LA, like, and then Vegas. Like, it just didn't make a lot of sense. I think Vegas had other holes that they could have filled. So I wasn't super crazy about that spot. I mean, I think they're going to probably use a more wide receiver than anything else. But yeah, I wasn't super crazy about Brock Bowers at all.
Yeah, maybe there was a little bit of like they thought they were going to get Penix. They thought they were safe. And all of a sudden, boom, that dream crashed down. And now they maybe took the best player. I think Brock Bowers is a great player. Maybe, you know, now we're having rumblings of like, oh, is this the Aaron Hernandez and Gronk days? You know, can they run two tight ends? So I think that glimmer is still there. But, you know, for real life considerations, I think it is going to be tough, man. If he went to a team like New York or Miami, it could have been a lot better for Brock Bowers. But, hey, maybe if you're really a believer, you get him for a cheaper price now. And I know some people really like him. And I like Gardner Minshew there. I think if he can rise to the top and, you know, make Mayer put him on the back burner, I think he can still be pretty productive. So we'll see. The jury's still out on that one.
Yeah. Anybody you hated as far as that first round?
You know what? I hated Neighbors, really did. I don't think I'm not backing him. You know, I said that before and I'll stick by it. If he goes to, and he did go to New York with Daniel Jones, I'm not a Daniel Jones believer. Don't think he turns it around. And I don't think that Neighbors is going to change that. So definitely Neighbors was one for me. And of course, Michael Penix, you know, I think he's a great quarterback, but man, what are they doing? You know, just financially there in Atlanta, they had Kirk Cousins looks like for 2-3 years. And then all of a sudden Michael Penix is here, you know, and really clouds things up. I think he could have been better off going to a team like Oakland, Denver, you know, immediately for fantasy, but maybe in Dynasty, he's still, you know, highly touted. I mean, all it takes is one injury, you know, bad quarterback play could happen, right? I'm not a big believer in Kirk Cousins, even in, you know, even in Atlanta. So I just think it's a run first offense, and I'm kind of out on the Cards there.
Yeah, it sucks because I was such a huge Michael Penix fan. Like, I was hoping he would land in the right spot because I think, like, he could have – I think his talent – I know there's injury concerns and his age is definitely a concern, but I just felt like the way he played and what I saw from him in college, and I'm a little biased because, you know I have some personal, like, you know, things, ties to him. So I thought that was a really crappy spot to kind of land in. I get it. Like, you're taking that Jordan Love situation. You're getting your quarterback that you believe in now and in hopes that he learns from the veteran. And in 2 or 3 years, now you've got, you know, a potential, you know, Pro Bowl quarterback. But in 2 to 3 years, you're talking about a quarterback who's now going to be, you know, 26, 27, like, depending on the age, like, and I get it. Quarterbacks can play a lot longer than they have been in the past because you can't even touch them without getting a flag. So that helps. But I thought he could have finished as like the second best quarterback in this draft class. Like, I really do believe that talent in him. And now I've kind of, yeah, the landing spot definitely hurt. I will say in rookie drafts, though, I would say go for it if you can. I'm seeing him fall in the mid to late second round and even in super flex leagues. So I still think he's valuable there. Put him on your taxi, like obviously the Falcons are doing, and just let him sit there for a little bit. And then maybe you've got yourself a top, you know, 15 quarterback in a couple years, you know? So yeah, I think that definitely hurt. So now we're talking round two. Round two, I think, is probably round two and three are my favorite rounds in the NFL draft, because I think that's where you get your best players. Round one can be such a hit or miss, I think, in these draft processes. And I think you're really getting your best players in round two and three. When it comes to round two, I think you already know my answer as far as who my favorite pickup, and that's, of course, Keon Coleman from Florida State. Like, that was by far my favorite. Like, seeing him go to Buffalo, it kind of sucks that Buffalo didn't get him in the first to give him that fifth-year option. Financially, it kind of would have made more sense, but I get why they were trading back. But Keon Coleman landing in Buffalo, again, I thought that was the best move. I'm trying to get him in every rookie draft I can. And because he was drafted in the second round, I think his draft capital affected him when it came to rookie drafts, because I've already seen him fall in the second round, like mid like early to mid second round, kind of like he was in the NFL. And I think that's an absolute steal because he comes in, I think, as the wide receiver one. I mean, mm-hmm. I love Curtis Samuel. I love Khalil Shakir. But I think his body style and the way he plays, I think he becomes the wide receiver one clearly in this offense.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's the hope, you know, is they needed somebody to come out and step up and be that number one. They lost a lot in the offseason, lost Diggs, lost Gabe Davis. So they definitely have a void. One guy I saw they brought in, Quintez Cephas. That's another interesting one. He had a nice year a couple years ago in Detroit. I saw them add him, too. So it's going to be interesting how things shake out there in Buffalo. But I do expect Coleman to have a huge season. And when we talk landing spots, man, I don't think there is one better in the draft. So I back that. And I, you know, you kind of put me on to Keon Coleman, and, you know, I went to watch his tape and really, wow, this guy's big. I called him like a poor man's Mike Evans. He's a big physical receiver and he's quick too. So I like him a lot. I think he's going to be great. Not only in redraft, but dynasty too.
Yeah. I love this kid, and I hope he does turn out to be the player I think he could be.
Yeah.
So anybody in round two you fell in love with that you think?
Yeah, you know what? I had a couple on the defensive side. We'll get to that next week. But right now, Jonathan Brooks to Carolina, I like it. You know, and it's not like a, you know, right off the bat, this guy's going to be money. I don't know if he's going to really get the starting nod to begin the season. I'm not expecting that. But I do expect him to get his fair crack. You know, this guy is good at catching the ball. He's definitely going to be needed on third downs. I think maybe a little bit more than third downs. Now, Carolina came out and said that they – back Miles Sanders, they back Chuba Hubbard, and I can kind of get that one because we rode for Chuba Hubbard. We said if he ended up making it unscathed, you know, no real competition for snaps, that we really liked him still. Now I think with Brooks that changes a little bit. I'm a little bit hopping off the bandwagon of Chuba. I still think he'll be maybe an undervalued player in redraft, you know, somebody who's definitely going to go later now, that it may be a value pick. But I do expect in the season sometime for Brooks to maybe start on third down, have a role. But I'm not buying the Miles Sanders, man. I like him. He's from Pittsburgh. Respect him, you know, to the moon and back. But at the same time, what we saw last year was not the same guy in Philly. So if Carolina can back him all they want, I'm out on Miles Sanders. And I do think Jonathan Brooks is going to hit at some point in his rookie year.
Yeah, definitely true. Obviously, everyone had thought Dallas was going to get Jonathan Brooks, and I think his value would have completely changed when it came to fantasy. But yeah, I agree. I like the move for Jonathan Brooks. I like the move for Carolina as far as future. I don't like the move for Chuba Hubbard, who I was able to get. You know, I went after him this offseason, you know, fairly cheap, you know, third round here, there. Like, I didn't spend a lot, but I felt like he could have had a role this season where he could have actually turned it around and become their RB1. But, you know, coaches say one thing and then there's another thing that happens. And I, obviously, clearly that other thing is they truly believe Brooks is a better back than Hubbard. And they also get him cheaper, right? Hubbard, this was his contract year, you know, and no one wants to spend money on running backs, you know? So I think that was also a factor, you know, the financial aspect of it. So yeah, for Brooks, I mean, he's the best running back as far as the landing spots go. I mean, we could talk Trey Benson and, you know, as far as his landing spot too, but realistically, that was one of the better landing spots just because there is some uncertainty. I think Miles Sanders gets traded or, you know, whatever, they take deal with the cut. And then obviously Hubbard, they don't have to resign. So yeah, I mean, Brooks, I think he get eased into this year. I don't expect a lot instantly. Like, he's not going to be a redraft value. But for Dynasty, I think his value will absolutely still be there. Now, as far as a player I'm not super in love with, and you may agree with this one too, is I did not like where A.D. Mitchell landed in the second round. Like, don't get me wrong, I think the second round was a good spot for him. Like, there was even, you know, talks of him being in the late first, but landing in Indy was the one spot I didn't want him to go to. Like, you're going to a receiving core that has Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, Josh Downs, like, where someone's obviously losing a spot, and I think that it's going to be Alec Pierce. I think he's the one who gets affected the most, but now you're still dealing with Downs, who I loved. I thought he was a great wide receiver too, opposite of Pittman. Like, you didn't need AD Mitchell, and I think now there's so much uncertainty. I mean, maybe they're just trying to grab as many receivers for Anthony Richardson, but I don't think that's what Anthony Richardson's game is all about. I think he's a guy very similar to Lamar, where he can get you, you know, throw you 3,000 yards, 3,400 yards, rush them, you know, like that's his game and that's okay. So adding these extra receivers, I just thought it was too much. I was like, man, let AD go to a team that could have used him. You know, I felt like even Cincy would have been a good spot, but at least there, I know they're going to throw to their third receiver. I just don't think Anthony Richardson's going to throw enough to add value for AD Mitchell. And so I've been avoiding him in every rookie draft I've been in. I hate the spot that he landed.
Yeah, for sure. I'm backing that too. And good point about Richardson. You know, in theory, it's good to get him, you know, better receivers bulk up there, but that's really not his game as they're airing the ball out. So, I agree. That's kind of a moot point. I think there was a lot better landing spots that Mitchell could have gone. I'm out on him as well. Maybe in Dynasty, you know, he does rise through the ranks and you know, becomes a number two, number three receiver there with time. That's what you're hoping for. And I think the potential's certainly there. He's a great player, but I'm definitely someone as of right now that I'm not recommending when it comes to redraft talk.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely not. Is there anybody else in the second round that you didn't love their landing spot or just kind of not really sold on?
For offense, no. We saw a lot of defensive guys go, a lot of edge rushers, went heavy then. Tackles. But in this round three, it's going to be some heavy hitters. I'll start it off with moving into round three, Trey Benson.
Yeah.
Trey Benson, love that landing spot. You know what? When we talk about Arizona Cardinals, of course, James Conner. And I was somebody who was off the James Conner. I'll go on the record and say I was wrong. I was not touching him myself, limited upside. He defied the odds last year when he was healthy, really did well. At some point, I'm going to be right by saying, you know, he's going to get hurt. He's not going to have that high ceiling. At some point, it's going to happen. Now, you look at the Arizona Cardinals. They drafted Keontae Ingram. There's been a couple running backs that, like, have been drafted, like, oh, this guy's the next one. So it's like, man, I'm not going to get caught again on the same, you know, hook and line. But at the same time, I think Trey Benson's a legit prospect. And as Connor only gets older and older, I think that, you know, he's more injury prone. So I think there's a real scenario here where Connor does get hurt. Then Trey Benson steps in and shows out, and they're looking to rejuvenate, you know, liven up youth in their team. They have Marvin Harrison there. I think they try to flip the script on their franchise, their team, what they've got going on. So I really like Trey Benson. I think this is definitely not somebody who's, you're looking at right off the bat and redraft. This is going to be one of the better handcuffs, I think, in the redraft league. But for Dynasty, I really like the landing spot. Him and Brooks, I think maybe Brooks has more standalone value right away. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, like I said, injury to Connor. And Trey Benson absolutely skyrockets through the rankings. Steve, what do you think about Benson?
Yeah, Benson has more value in redraft this year. He has more value in Dynasty this year compared to Jonathan Brooks. Just because let's be honest, like as well as Connor has been, there has been injury issues, right? Like he hasn't really played a full season without something nagging him. So Benson automatically jumps into the conversation of having value this season. And he's a great prospect. I think him and Jonathan Brooks could have gone back and forth as far as what running back was going to go first. Dynasty, I think his value is still there because you're dealing with a lot more age factor compared to Brooks. Brooks is dealing with just running backs that maybe Carolina doesn't want to pay or believe in. So that scenario is a little bit different. So I wouldn't be upset if like you're needing a running back for your dynasty team and you're going between, you know, Trey Benson or Jonathan Brooks. I wouldn't be mad at if you took, you know, Benson over Brooks. Like, I don't think that would be a bad thing for you. I think Brooks has a little more value in the long run, like you mentioned, but yeah, I think this is a good spot. And I think they even did this just to kind of lower the touches for Connor. I think just to kind of limit so he can be healthy all season. So I think instantly Benson has a lot more value for sure. So now a player I loved in this round, in the third round of the draft, I love Roman Wilson from Michigan going to Pittsburgh. Like we've talked about it. Pittsburgh does a great job of getting good receivers and then they don't want to pay them. And that's okay. That's just how the process works. But you got a good receiver who I think doesn't need pressure on him. He comes in automatically, I think, as the wide receiver too, opposite of Pickens. I'm curious. I think you're probably the same way, like how this offense looks. I think it's still going to be through the running game. And obviously, you know, the fifth year option just got broken that's not going to happen with Najee, but I still think they believe in him. I think they want to see what happens this year. So I think the running game between Warren and Najee does not put a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson. But I still think there's enough value that I think Roman Wilson will have. Like, I think he'll have instant value in redraft. Not super, but instant. I think he's a nice little possible wide receiver three or something like that. Again, if you're getting him late. And then I think his dynasty value is there. I love this pick for Pittsburgh. I didn't have to spend a lot, and I thought they had a really good receiver. I had him higher than some of the other players that went in the second round. So, yeah. I love that pick for Pittsburgh for sure.
Yeah, I like Roman Wilson too, and I think he's somebody when we talk about how stacked this wide receiver class was, really kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit. But boom, now his landing spot's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I've said before, like they got to kind of. The game is throwing now. They got to be better throwing the ball. I think they brought in Russell Wilson. They made moves on the offensive line to help out. So I think the pieces are there. So yeah. I really do like Roman Wilson. I think he definitely has he's a sneaky, safe floor kind of play, I think, automatically in redraft. I don't think the Steelers brought him in to, like, take it slow. I think the reins are off on Wilson, and I think he's going to get some good target value. And I wouldn't expect him to be Deontay Johnson all of a sudden, but Deontay Johnson is now gone. He's in Carolina, and those snaps aren't just going to go to George Pickens. They're not just going to go to Freiermuth. They're going to be spread throughout. And so Roman Wilson is in a premium place to reap the benefits of that landing spot. And I'm really excited. You know, when we talk about Malik Nabers, Harrisons, of course, that's who we're excited to see. But I think, Roman Wilson is going to surprise a lot of people and be on a lot of fantasy teams, and we're going to see the shares, the value only go up. So definitely a sneaky guy right there, and I love that pick as well.
Yeah, and speaking of Michigan, the player I did not love in this round was Blake Corum. Like, it's not Blake himself. It's just going to the Rams absolutely, like, completely, like, shocked me. Like, you just had Kyren Williams, who is a young back, come up and be one of the best running backs in fantasy last season, just dominating on the ground, dominating in the red zone, scoring touchdowns left and right, and then you just drafted Corum. Like, I don't understand that. And instantly, the first thought is, well, Kyren Williams' value just completely changed. His red zone threat has completely changed because Corum is that type of guy who can be a red zone threat. Like, he would have been a great running back in a team that needed somebody with a little bit extra oomph. You know, maybe you've got a great receiving back style. You know, running back, Corum's a great add-on. Like, Corum had that type of potential. So now, like, I've not gone through all my running back rankings. I've been going back and forth between those players. I am so torn between what to do with Corum and Kyren, because it just, I don't know what McVay's thought process was. I get it. You got a running back. Maybe you need to add an extra player. But I hated, like, this landing spot. I really just am. I'm trying to figure out what is the best solution for these players coming into this upcoming season. And then in Dynasty, because it's not like Kyren's an old back. Like, he's young. So Corum's value is going to be tied to Kyren at this point. So I did not fall in love with that spot at all.
Yeah, I feel that, man. I think this one can go two ways, you know, because a couple pods ago in the offseason, we were talking about guys that should be rostered right now in dynasty leagues, especially deeper. And I'd mentioned Ronnie Rivers because he was, like, by default, the backup there. The only guy that if Kyren got hurt, he was going to step in. Obviously he was not like somebody you're going to be relying on as your second two of two. Maybe they have Jake Funk too. So, like, really deep there, but yeah, Ronnie Rivers, you didn't want to rely on him. So you went and got a rookie, and you got a fine rookie. You know, Blake Corum's a good running back. Now the thing is for the Rams, they really focus on one running back. Sean McVay usually rolls with that one running back, but I love Kyren Williams myself. I picked him up. I was all about him and Puka this year early on, smash plays. And I think he's dynamite. I really like Kyren Williams. A lot of people were going to knock him a small back, you know, this, that. He had injury. And that might be true. You know, maybe Kyren Williams is great on the field, but, like, he just is going to have trouble staying on the field. And that's twofold, because in that situation, Blake Corum, I think, could be a great running back, great landing spot, because there's not much in front of him. But until then, you know, until Kyren's hurt, I don't see him really seeing the field much, which is a big hurt. You know, if you're drafting, especially in redraft, or if you were hurting in dynasty and you need these guys right now, yeah, I don't think Blake Corum's your guy. But I still have some faith in him. I think if an injury eventually will happen to Kyren, knock on wood, that he's going to be a nice play. And I think that being that they only use one running back, if it's not Kyron, it's going to be him, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's an absolute handcuff. Like when we talk about that, when we're coming into the redraft season, you know, he's definitely going to be somebody you have to have in your late rounds if you've got Kyron, just to make sure you've got a backup plan. Because like you mentioned, I mean, that's the one thing, you know, like the Rams don't use multiple backs. Like they are one of the few teams that are this is our running back and we're going to use and abuse. Like that's the type of style they play. They don't play the committee aspect. So, you know, Kyron definitely comes in as the RB1. He's going to be the guy who's going to get 20 plus touches. And then, you know, you get a breather here or there from Corum. But yeah, if something does happen, Corum's value absolutely skyrockets. So he's definitely going to be stronger, I think, in redraft. I would say more than I would think, you know, dynasty at this point. Like there's some other running backs I would take. But, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about the rest of this draft. There were a lot of running backs that I thought their position where they fell, I was not in love with. Like this running back class already struggled. And then they got some spots that you're like, man, what was this NFL? And I get it. We're a committee style league now, you know, look at, you know, Dallas, you know, a team that everyone thought was going to get a running back, but they don't want to do that anymore. They just want to do a committee. And you're going to find that a lot in a lot of teams for sure.
Right. Right. One guy I did not like their landing spot. How we were talking about that right now. I'll give mine. Lloyd, Marshawn Lloyd. Goes to Green Bay. I think they use Josh Jacobs. Has been, his usage is crazy through his time in Vegas. Now he comes here to Green Bay. I think it's going to be the same. And hey, they still got a guy named AJ Dillon on that team. So this is somebody who definitely is not going to be on the the high ADP and redraft, but definitely somebody who's being looked at in dynasty. And I think you know, maybe if there's an injury to Jacobs, then I think he can easily surpass Dillon. I think Dillon's kind of like he has his role at this point. But until then, I'm not really banking on much out of Lloyd. I didn't like this landing spot. Even if there is an injury to Josh Jacobs there, who knows? Maybe the coaching staff says AJ Dillon's familiar with the team. You know, there's nothing guaranteed with Lloyd. So I definitely think don't forget about him because he has high potential, but just when is that potential ever going to come to fruition is the question.
Yeah, it's funny because I saw so many people are like, oh, Marshawn Lloyd, this is a great spot because Josh Jacobs is practically on a one-year contract and Lloyd can come in as the guy and Dylan's going to be replaced. Like, that's not necessarily true. Like, I don't know where this whole Josh Jacobs on a one-year. I mean, at least from my understanding on his contract is, yeah, I mean, they could release him, sure, but if they release him next year, it's a $9 million cap hit. You know, if you release him in 2026, it's a $6 million cap hit. Like he's not a rental. Like Josh Jacobs came into this as a signed back and he is their back. I mean, you wouldn't get rid of one of your, I would say most coveted and loved running backs in Aaron Jones to get Josh Jacobs just to put Marshawn Lloyd in there. Right. So I think Marshawn Lloyd is more of a replacement for AJ Dillon. I just think they haven't been impressed with AJ Dillon. Like AJ Dillon has had so many opportunities and he has never really truly taken hold of that offense. Like I think he was brought in to be the successor to Aaron Jones and just never really happened. So I think this is says more about AJ Dillon. And I think AJ Dillon dynasty stock has completely been affected. Like he's not even somebody you want to have as a handcuff. I think Marshawn becomes that guy, but this whole misconception of like, oh yeah, he's going to replace Josh Chick. No. Get out of here. Like that. I don't know where that's even coming from. One of the guys, one of my favorite people I love to follow on Twitter, Jesse Moeller, who does the fantasy universe. Like he said it best. Like, why are we keep talking about that? Like, he's going to affect the cap. Like, I'm like, finally someone said it. None of these, I don't know, but yeah, Marshawn Lloyd, I think you and I both, like we start looking at this, these running backs did not fall in the best spots. Like, We won't even talk about the Jets. The Jets drafted every running back in this class, I feel like. And I don't understand it when you have a premier running back in Breece Hall. Like Breece Hall is a top five running back.
Yep.
And then you just drafted like five of them. I don't understand the logic, but that's the Jets. They like to, you know, make questionable things.
Right.
So before we move to round four, I want to talk about some things obviously that we do at, you know, IDP. And one of the things that we are a partner with Trophy Smack. And again, I want to mention it, Mother's Day, May 12th. So with them upon us, don't forget, you know, and again, don't put yourself in the doghouse. with a boring gift or anything for your mom or for your wife. Trophy Smack does have obviously belts and rings and things like that, but there's also some other stuff that you can get for them. Coffee mugs, like World's Best Mom. So again, use us as a way to get some great gifts for your mom or wife for Mother's Day. And again, if you guys obviously use promo code IDP guys, at the checkout, you get a free championship ring with the purchase of a custom trophy or belt. And then of course, if you need to get some stuff for Mother's Day, check out that. So make sure you guys hit that description down below, click on the link, buy some stuff. I may not be your mom, but you could send me some things your way if you want. I will gladly take a ring or a trophy. But again, make sure you guys are using that and don't forget to hit the promo code of IDP guys. So round four, I think there was a lot of value in this round. You know, you're looking at this, I think there were some great receivers that I thought could have gone higher that fell in the round four. And, you know, I fell in love with a few of them. But one player who I've been hard on, and I'm going to give him some redemption, is Tez Walker for the Baltimore Ravens. He was someone that, you know, I saw him at the Senior Bowl. I know he was he was great for North Carolina. Him and Drake May played really well together. Tez had some great games. But then when I watched him live at the Senior Bowl, I was not impressed. There were too many opportunities. He just didn't run the routes very well. There were opportunities where he just couldn't catch the ball. Some of it's, you know, quarterback play. I get it. You're thrown in with quarterbacks. You don't have that same rapport. He was heavily targeted in that game, and they tried to give him opportunities. He didn't really shine that I thought he was going to. So I was kind of disappointed. But then I started thinking, you know, over the weekend and how this draft class went, I think what Baltimore's trying to do is they are trying to give Lamar the best opportunity to be the best quarterback he can be, not just through the ground, but also through the air. And I know they obviously, you know, re-signed, you know, Rashad Bateman, they signed an extension. You got Zay Flowers, who I absolutely love, from Boston College. But then I think getting Tez Walker actually was a great play. Because if Bateman doesn't work out, there's a chance. Bateman has struggled, and they keep trying to make him a thing.
Right.
But there's a chance it just doesn't, you know, translate at all in this game. I think Tez Walker fell into a decent spot. I think he comes into a spot where he becomes the three. He could possibly become the two, depending on Bateman has dealt with a lot of injuries. So I actually think this was a great spot. He's not going to be the number one option. He's not going to be even the number two. You got Mark Andrews there. But I think this was a good spot for him. So for a value pick in your rookie dynasty, if you're getting him in the mid to late thirds, maybe late seconds, I mean, I'm okay with that. I think that's a value that you may, you know, have to wait a year or two, but I think he could easily become a really good receiver. That might be a nice wide receiver three or flex play, depending on how your roster size is. So I actually love the spot. I wasn't in love with him, but I think the spot is great for him to really shine.
And you know what? I think there's a lot of people out there that will say, you know, Baltimore runs the ball a lot. They got Derrick Henry. They're going to run it more. They're not really looking Walker's way. So, yeah, if you're somebody who has that thought, who has that intuition, you know, about Devontae Walker, take it, because I think there's room for opportunity there. They need somebody on the outside, somebody they can throw the ball deep to. I think him and Lamar Jackson works his magic. I mean, even Nelson Aguilar there, even though he's not with the team anymore, even he had his days, you know. So I think this highly touted prospect comes in. I think he can do well, you know, be that number two. I think he can easily surpass Rashad Bateman. Good point on Bateman. I was in on him as a rookie, but he had a nice year as a rookie. Every year after that, just so hurt. And yeah. At this point, I'm like, is he even guaranteed anything? So I'm really not afraid of him. But I do think Rashad Bateman, you know, he's not somebody who's hanging by a thread. You know, he's not 32 years old. He's still young. He could definitely make things turn around. So this is a risky pick, but I think on the outside looking in, there's more to it than, you know, what you may see on the surface. So I do like it. Yeah. What do you think about Troy Franklin? I like this guy going to Denver. I mean, they lose Sutton. If they could possibly lose Sutton, it would help him a lot. Yeah. All I really have is Mims. I love Mims. If you've watched my videos, I back Mims to the moon and back. But just say that doesn't happen, or, you know, we know he's not going to be a big volume receiver. I think there's going to be room for targets here for Franklin. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, Franklin definitely lands in a good spot, because I think Sutton does eventually get moved. I don't think there's a way they're going to continue this season with him as their wide receiver one. He wants out. I think they want to move on from the money. So I think he gets moved. which I know you're a big Mims fan, and I do like Mims, but I think if Sutton is gone, I think that automatically puts Troy Franklin as the wide receiver one.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
He's good size to a degree. Like he's got to build out his frame a little bit more without affecting his speed, because he's what, I think, a 185. But he's 6'2 or 6'3. Like he's a little lengthy, but like I think if he builds up a little bit muscle this offseason, he's got his quarterback. He's got his college quarterback, Bo Nix. And I think that only plays a big factor. I think that's huge. I will say this, as crazy as it sounds, I think because of the draft capital with him falling to the fourth round, I think the casual NFL fan are afraid to draft him. I've been able to grab Troy Franklin in two leagues of mine. I got him at the 205, and then I got him in one at the 210. And I'm okay with taking a middle to late second, and I don't feel like I risked anything at all. I think I fell into a position where I've got the potential wide receiver one for the Denver team. Do we expect a lot? No. But the fact that he's got his quarterback from his college, you know, game day, and I think that was huge. I like it. I think it was a good move. I think him falling down was huge. I think a lot of people have now a lot of question marks because of him falling down, because I think a lot of people expected him in the second round. So him going to the fourth was definitely a fall that no one had anticipated, but I think the spot was perfect. And I think he's very valuable in fantasy because the fact that he's just not being drafted anywhere near the first or even early second at all. So I think his value is really strong.
And at the same time, you know, I was somebody who, if you're in a fantasy league with me, you get a lot of trades, right? So I took Courtland Sutton last year in a bunch of leagues just because I knew he was going to have some good games. He would be a consistent receiver and trade bait. So I was sending him for anything, you know, a little small upgrade. I was sending him, packaging him with another player, getting a better player. I mean, probably three or four leagues that I like kicked myself like, man, this is Courtland Sutton. He was really, really put the pieces together. Looking at the years before, the touchdowns weren't there, the receptions, the consistency wasn't there. So I don't know about you, but I'd be really damn shocked if Courtland Sutton stayed number one, stayed on the team, and number two did anything close to the pace he was on this year. I'd be shocked. I don't think he has it in him. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think he's just his own motivation. I just think he just is so done with this team. I think he knows that it's clearly a rebuild aspect. He's not part of Sean Payton's plan at all anyways. I mean, they already moved Jerry Jeudy. There was talks of them both being moved. So, like, obviously, how do you feel good about being on a team that a new head coach comes in? You're not part of that draft process. You weren't his guy. It's tough to come into work and just feel motivated. Like, he clearly wants to move on. I think Denver does want to move on. I think just Denver is just asking for too much at this point, which they, I get it. That's your best receiver. He played really well last season. He had some amazing games. I mean, that toe tap last season to help them. I mean, so it's not like he's a scrub. Like, I think you put him on a team that needs another receiver, not necessarily a wide receiver one, but just a wide receiver two. And he's absolutely, I think even dynasty wise and fantasy wise, he's going to be a stud. But yeah, I think it's, I don't know. I don't know what Denver's trying to do. I think they're just trying to ask for too much. And unfortunately, it's keeping Courtland, held hostage. But I think it does get moved because I think they like Troy Franklin. You get Mims. Obviously, you got Dolchik. I mean, this offense isn't scary. No one's worried about this offense. I feel bad for, Javonte Williams and anybody who loves him. Because the value is just not there. I mean, we're talking redraft. A lot of these players, I'm not touching any Denver player when it comes to redraft at this point, except for out of the IDP side, Singleton and stuff. Yeah. But anybody else, I'm going to steer clear if I can. So, yeah, Troy Franklin's a great move. I think he does have strong value in Dynasty. I thought he was in a perfect spot. So anybody you didn't, like, really fall in love in this round?
I'm going to go with Jatavion Sanders. I don't know. A lot of people will talk. They like the spot. They need a tight end there in Carolina. But like, when was the last, and I'm one of these guys, and I said it before, I was wrong, 2 years ago, last year about, what was his name? Okereke. I was like, when have the New York Giants had a strong IDP linebacker? I would not back him. I tweeted he's going to be a bust, and he did it. He defied the odds. So it does happen. But I think there is some truth to, what I'll be saying in the there's just not really any tight ends that are relevant coming from Carolina. Maybe I'm wrong, and I'll admit that if I am, but he's in a great landing spot. I'll give him that. Should get peppered, young quarterback, but Bryce Young really, I mean, number one, they really haven't had a good tight end there to help Bryce Young. And number two, he didn't throw to the tight ends much last year. So, I mean, this Carolina offense in general, they just got so many pieces. They still have Mingo. They still have other receivers there. Thielen's still there. You know, there's going to be – we could look at it in five different ways and make it look gold for those five different ways. But I think for every way you can say it's going to go good, it can go the opposite way. So I'm not somebody who's going to throw a lot of investment in him. I do think later, you know, if you're a tight end needy team, and this is somebody who's at least going to play snaps right away. Yeah. So I do like him in that regard. And maybe there's a chance that, you know, rookie tight ends, we saw what they did last year. Maybe he finds his way through the cracks and, you know, defies the odds and makes it 2 years in a row. But I'm not banking on it. I'm just not buying it. And I think this is a lot of managers are going to look at this and say they invested kind of early in the position. And he was the number two. But to me, I don't like the landing spot.
Yeah, I mean, the landing spot, I don't know if it's horrible. I think, yeah, the opportunities could be there. I don't know, because, like, they didn't really use their tight end as much as, like, other teams. So, yeah, I don't know if it's more so Jatavian or if it's the landing spot. But I do, like, I've been torn on that one. I mean, I have him in – I did draft him in my own league in a late third because I was like, why not? You know, he's got the draft capital as far as, like, where he – I was drafted based off other tight ends, so I'm okay with taking the risk in the late third, but I don't expect much out of him. Yeah, it's a tough one. You mean, you could have talked about a couple other tight ends, I think, like Theo Johnson to New York. I'm not sure. You got Bellinger. Obviously, I think Waller is expected, you know, announce that retirement officially. Nothing's been official yet, but who I did not fall in love with, and I've gone back and forth. I thought about talking Jalen Wright, you know, for Miami, but the running back I actually did not fall in love with because of the landing spot is Braylon Allen. Like, again, I don't understand the aspect of just New York's got a great running back. I get it. You want a second running back, but I felt like some decent backups, and I don't think Braylon needed to go there. And obviously we'll talk, you know, again, New York gets another running back later in the draft as well. So I wasn't falling in love with that. I get the Jalen Wright aspect because you got a player that, you know, in an offense that's all about explosion and being able to, you know, make a one cut and run and things like that. So I get that aspect. And I think they're kind of easing Mostert out of, you know, this offense eventually. But you also just drafted a running back like Achan. So that one, we'll see. But yeah, Braylon Allen was the one I really was not crazy about at all. I just felt that was not the best spot for him at all.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
I don't know what New York is doing. So, and, you know, we're going into the fifth round, and in fifth round, there were some running backs, you know, in that one as well. Cause again, a lot of them went towards the end of the fifth, and, you know, these aren't running backs we're not going to deep dive into, but as far as a player who I thought landed at a decent spot, I don't know how relevant they're going to be when it comes to fantasy. Cause again, we're talking dynasty and how these guys, you know, are going to play out. I felt like Thrash was a decent move for where he went to the Browns. I know the Browns are full of receivers right now. You've got Elijah Moore, you got Cooper, you got Judy, you got Peoples Jones. So like Thrash is going into a position where he's not going to be absolutely needed. But I like Thrash coming out of college. I felt he was a nice little sneaky play when it came to fantasy. But again, I think Thrash is somebody you can get off of waivers, put on your taxi, just kind of let him sit there. I wouldn't necessarily draft him. But when you're looking at this round of players that in this draft, like I still think he's got some value. Like looking at the fifth round, there wasn't a super large amount. I mean, the other player I could have mentioned, I'm sure you may mention, but because I was torn on, I kind of loved the spot for Spencer Rattler, but I like this spot for Jamari Thrash. I think it's, again, it's a deep, deep spot, but I thought this was a decent spot for him because I think he's got some great receivers ahead of him that he can really learn from, and I think has some potential value. Because I don't think People Jones comes back. Mark Cooper's obviously getting a little bit up there in age, and his cost is going to be a concern. Elijah Moore, who I do love, I've always liked him. He just, you know, fortunately dealt with the injury last year, and then he played for New York for a while. But I sneakily like this spot. I'm not drafting him. Thrash is somebody you're getting off waivers, but if you have to get taxi spots for him, I would pick him up.
Yeah, I respect that. I mean, you're a guy like me. I'm looking at it like, oh, how many guys are they going to draft? They got David Bell, right? And they got Cedric Tillman. I haven't seen anything. So, like, he's completely off my radar. So, in your sense, like, if he's going to do it, then you're going to get over on me hard, because I don't think there's – maybe I'm wrong. There, maybe there's other people that, you know, are thinking of the same boat as you. But for me, I'm like, man, you know, and keep in mind, I'm in Pittsburgh too, so I'm not going to root for any, you know, Browns team. Yeah. But, I'm not in on it. You know, I do think he could be a great prospect and defy the odds. I'm not a big Jerry Jeudy fan at all. Didn't like him at Denver. Don't like him here. So I think there's definitely opportunity. It's just like, is he going to, you know, is David Bell, Tillman, are they like thrown in the back and they're going to give him the shot? Because I hope he has as good a shot as anybody. You know, rookie receivers, they hit nowadays. So last year they didn't for the Browns. Maybe this year is different. I don't see like much in front of him besides like, money. You know, Jerry Jeudy costs a lot. But other than that, yeah, I like him. I mean, I think there's definitely potential there. So add him to your taxi squad. Cannot hurt.
Yep. Anybody you fell in love with this round?
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't mention Tyrone Tracy from the Giants. I like this guy, and I just think it's a great landing spot. I mean, we talked about Eric Gray. Well, he's on the back burner now. Like, Eric Gray was how I said Ronnie Rivers before, like by default. Now, I mean, they lost Saquon Barkley. They have Singletary, but now I think Tracy, you know, as much as this wasn't really a guy, we were talking household name, combine, draft, things like that. But I think Tyrone Tracy, by the luck of the draw, landing spot is great. And this is definitely somebody who I'm going to say don't leave on the waiver wire. He should definitely be owned, even if you're in a shallow league, because this is rags to riches real quick potential-wise, I think, with Tracy.
Yeah. I think it was a good move. I do understand that aspect, because obviously I don't think they're going to just ride, Singletary. So I'm curious how this backfield plays out for New York and how they're going to end up using them, because they're not going to put it all on Daniel Jones. They can't. If they want to have any type of success, they cannot put it all on the arm of Daniel Jones or his legs. Tracy, I think, is a good spot. One other player that just an honorable mention, just because he's one of my favorite players as a Florida State fan, Jordan Travis, I thought landed in a good spot behind Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's got any value in your rookie drafts, but like, you know, we mentioned a lot of these guys you might be able to get on waivers. You know, Jordan Travis was a great, you know, Florida State quarterback. He now gets to sit behind Aaron Rodgers dealing with his injury, right? Coming off of that. So he doesn't have to play this year. Well, as long as Aaron Rodgers doesn't fall apart. But I thought that was a good move. I actually secretly like this. Might be a play where you got a guy who can come in later on, you know, and there's no pressure on Aaron, right? You didn't draft a replacement, even though Aaron should understand that New York's going to draft a replacement at some point. They cannot rely on a 50-year-old Aaron Rodgers. So I thought Jordan Travis, again, as an honorable, like, I love, just because I'm a Florida State fan and I just kind of have that biased opinion. But I thought, what a great spot for him to kind of go and learn behind one of the best quarterbacks ever. That was nice. I thought it was a nice little play. Kind of went under the radar. Nobody really talked about it, because Jordan Travis obviously didn't get to finish out his college career. But I had he played and Florida State had the opportunity to go to the championship, I think Jordan Travis would have been drafted higher.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good landing spot. Definitely under my radar. So, yeah, absolutely. Somebody who's not a household name as far as in the NFL yet. So, I don't like Rodgers myself. I think he's only there for one more year. Maybe one good year. Maybe one great year. Who knows? But I think you're hoping for the best with Rodgers. And I think he's definitely going to have – wouldn't that be something? Like Jordan Love kind of takes over for Rodgers. Yeah. Now Travis would take – just the Aaron Rodgers thing. Hey, if you need a quarterback, just sign Aaron Rodgers and, you know, your backup's going to turn to gold. One guy I'll give you an honorable mention for me, he's from my home. Well, I don't know if he's from my hometown, but he's from went to Pittsburgh. Bob Means. He goes to the Saints. I think this is, you know, not on the prospect level, like, oh, no, this is, you know, somebody's going to change the game. But I think definitely Bob Means is like a raw talent. I don't think his best days were at Pitt. I think the best days are actually ahead. And I think this is a good landing spot. I mean, we talk about New Orleans offense, they have Olave, even A.T. Perry at the end of the year last year started producing. Rashid Shaheed, you'll see a lot of blurbs about like, oh, he's their number two. To me, he's a special teamer in some downfield stretches. You know, like I don't think Rashid Shaheed is taking anything away from anybody. So if you got Olave, A.T. Perry, who I'm still high on, and now Bub Means, like maybe Bub Means has some value. Maybe Bub Means business, you know, and gets it done on a greater scale. But I definitely think as far as opportunity for pretty immediate fantasy value, I think he has it. Doesn't mean his money in the bank, but I think that's somebody you want to put on your watch list at least.
Yeah, it's a good move. I mean, again, you got Olave and that's about it, right? Like there's not another receiver outside of that you're like absolutely in love with. Shaheed definitely had some value in, you know, the deep, you know, passing aspect, and he definitely had value in special teams, but you can't rely on him being your wide receiver too. I don't know if, Bub actually goes into the wide receiver two role, because I think, like you, I actually like A.T. Perry. I thought that I've been holding on to him for a while to kind of see how that plays out, but it's a good move. Someone I didn't love, though, I did not like the Isaiah Davis draft pick for the Jets. Like, again, another Jets running back. I'm not sure why they did this. I don't understand the logic, but you're just stacking running backs now behind Breece Hall. I don't know if you're just, there's a possibility they just think he's going to get hurt again. But I mean, again, Breece Hall was the best back in fantasy, and yet you're just stacking running backs behind him. So I don't understand. And I did not love that move. I don't get why they did it this draft. But I did not love what they did with Isaiah. And Isaiah could have been in a better position somewhere else. I think he was a decent prospect coming out of college.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you don't even give me a handcuff. Now I got two handcuffs. Now they're just like null and void. So both off my.
Yeah. Board. And that's, who do you grab? You know, I mean, maybe you go to the guy that who drafted a little bit sooner, but you're only a round apart, you know? So yeah, I didn't get it. I don't like when I saw those picks coming in, I'm like, I don't know what New York is doing. Like you have other needs on this team and you're just drafting running backs.
Right.
So did not love it at all.
With you. I agree.
So obviously we're going to the sixth round. We got some stretches here. These are a lot of players we're going to talk about now in the sixth and seventh round are probably players you're not going to draft. Probably players that are definitely no redraft value, and players that, you know, again, if you're in deep leagues in dynasty and you're looking for somebody to kind of fill your roster or you're adding some taxi squad, I think there's some players that you may want to listen to. I think there are players that, again, don't expect much for the first few years, but sometimes you get that Puka Nacua. Sometimes you get that, you know, Tom Brady. Sometimes you get those players that actually end up being a star and a stud for years to come. So, again, no, it doesn't harm you when you draft some of these players. If you're going late third, if you're even a league that has fourth or fifth rounds in your rookies. So one of the players that, again, I'm a little biased, but Johnny Wilson to the Eagles, I thought was a good move. Like, I hate the Eagles, but I thought this was a great move. I thought them signing a big receiver like this, who I know there's been conversations of him being a hybrid going to the tight end role, to help out, especially when Dallas Goedert's been dealing with injuries. But, you know, you got your two stud receivers and A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, who absolutely guaranteed their contract. They just got extensions. And, you know, why not add a nice young rookie wide receiver who could be the third at some point, big body, you know, got some value in the red zone, could be a slot, you know, just outside the inline version of a big tight end. Like, I thought that was a good move by Philly. Philly tends to do a really good job drafting. The record never says it. Let's just call it what it is. They didn't play well last year, even with the draft that they had last year. But I thought this was a good move from Philly. I hate to give him credit, but I like that move for Johnny Wilson too. I think it's a good spot for him. He doesn't get pressured into being, you know, more than what he is. And you got, you know, a good quarterback in Jalen Hurts who's smart, you know, can throw the ball in the right spot. So I like the move for both ends. I thought it was good for Johnny Wilson. I thought it was good for, you know, the Eagles. I just hate that happened as a Cowboy fan, but I thought that was a really good move.
Yeah, I agree with that. And they keep their receivers there. It seems like they, you know, they're not like flipping all the time. They kind of homegrown over there in Philly with the receiver room. So that's good for Wilson too.
Yeah.
Two guys I like here, both running backs, Vidal and Labe, you know, those two rookies. Vidal goes to the Chargers, Dylan Labe goes to the Raiders. I think immediate value is, to me, if I had to pick one of these for Dynasty, I think it's going to be for a redraft too. I'm going to go with Labe. I mean, listen, I'm also somebody who rosters and backs Zamir White. I think he's earned a look. I think he's going to do well. I wouldn't, you know, somebody asked me the other day, one of my buddies, would you, you know, trade the 202 for to give away, you know, Zamir White? And I said, no, I think Zamir White's actually going to hit. I think as the season rolls around and we start doing a redraft, I think into the preseason, Zamir White's value is going to be even greater than what it is now. But twofold, because we haven't really seen a big sample size with Zamir White. I do think he's successful. I think he's the number one when it's all said and done. But just something about Labe being like a small school, good receiver. I think on the West Coast, like, he can succeed in this role. I think that they also have Madison there, and I'm not really too crazy about Alex Madison. I think Labe is like my preferred handcuff. Now, if Zamir White were to get hurt, it wouldn't surprise me if they get the you know, majority of reps to Alex Madison. But I think just at some point, especially when we're talking dynasty, that Labe, whether it be this year, next year, week six of this year, at some point it's going to hit just because of the player he is. You know, this is a passing game. He can catch the ball. He's quick. He's shifty. I just looking in my global or in my crystal ball here, I see good days ahead for Dylan Labe for one reason or another.
Yeah. I mean, again, these are stretches. You're talking about players that you don't have to spend a lot of, or you just pick up off a waiver. So I think it's a good move. I think you and I both, we've both talked about it. Alexander Madison's not it. He is definitely better suited as a backup. He can kind of fill in here or there. So, you know, he's got some value, you know, behind Zamir White, but I think this team is going to run through Zamir. And I think Zamir is going to get plenty of opportunities. So, but Labe could be a handcuff that you may need. I know a lot of people obviously going to grab Madison. I get it. I'm just not sold. Like, I don't know. I don't really have any super value with him at all. And
Abdullah is still there, right? So, like, that's a big kicker too. Abdullah kind of, like, clouds the whole Labe, but don't let it – that's fool's gold. I don't think Amir Abdullah is going to be, you know, on anyone's team here starting this season. Yeah. I think there's a better chance of Labe.
Yeah, again, players we're talking about aren't players that you're drafting in your rookie drafts. Like, unless you've a fourth or fifth round pick and – you know, it's a deep league, sure. But these are players that I think you should be putting on your list of players you may want to add. We're talking off season. We're talking players that may still end up having to fight for their roster spot. But these are guys that, you know, they put some draft capital in them. I know it's only a sixth round or a fifth round, you know, but these are players that are usually end up being the ones that are the role players that add a lot of value to the NFL team. A player I didn't like in this particular round, it's not that I don't like him. I just don't like the spot, was Joe Milton. I love this kid as far as the way his arm and his swagger and the way he plays. But going to New England, I felt was not a great spot for him personally. I thought, you know, if he would have any possible value in Dynasty, he had to go somewhere else. And the team I didn't expect was not New England. Like, I didn't expect New England. You just got your boy, you know, And Drake May, you got Jacoby Brissett. Like, I didn't think Milton was a value that was needed, but they obviously saw something. I get it. I think he's got a great arm. There's definitely things that you know, Milton tends to Milton it. That's what they say. Like, he does have those issues, but I thought I love this kid. I want him to go to somewhere where they actually can really teach him to be a good quarterback. Like, get him out of some of his bad habits and some of his mechanics and get him into a position where he could have had some success. So I hate that he went there. I wish he had gone somewhere else. I wish he could have gone. I'm not saying even Kansas City would have had value, but putting him in Kansas City would have just been such a great thing for Milton himself that he could have some value later on. I mean, he's not replacing him at Mahomes, but just having Andy Reid as his coach and having, you know, obviously Mahomes to look at and a kind of similar play style where he kind of makes some crazy plays and with his arm. But yeah, New England, let's just be honest. They're not known for producing quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm out.
Brady produced himself, let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm with you on Milton. He would have been far better on another team, especially a team that throws the ball a lot. You know, New England, they're not going to need him. Maybe he's like a Tyson Bagent, you know, do well in a little flash of a pan, trade him. I don't know. But right now it's not looking good for Joe Milton. So,
yeah. So before we go into the final round, final seventh round, we'll talk some really deep players. One thing I want to talk about with IDP is what we've got going on with the expo in Ohio. So again, to give you another reason to go to Canton, Ohio for the Fantasy Football Expo, which is in August, which is going to be right around the corner. Join IDP. So on Saturday, August 10th at the Brew Kettle next to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, they're going to be doing a drafting extravaganza. The first time ever, IDP Plus is going to be hosting an IDP league. So this is huge. So if you want to be part of this, this is the first time. If you want to be part of this, in the description, you're able to click on there. You can sign up, be part of the first IDP league with IDP Plus hosting this at the Brew Kettle for the Fantasy Football Expo. And if you have never been to the Fantasy Football Expo, make sure you sign up and get tickets and things like that for that. There's a lot of great stuff. You get to network with some great people. You get to find out some great stuff. There's some great parties. There's a lot of good stuff coming out of that. So again, sign up in that link. Again, if you're an IDP fan, this is a way to, you know, be there, be part of something fun. And, you know, while you're there, go enjoy the Hall of Fame as well. So like, do that, please click on that link. I think you're going to have a great time. I'm not sure if you're going to be there, Johnny, but I think the expo is one of the coolest things that are out there. So round seven, this is the round that we find Brock Purdy and Tom Brady. This is it. Like, this is where we're going to go. Okay. Now, as far as a player that I love, I was torn between two players, but the one player I'm going to mention is a legacy player, and that's going to be Brennan Rice. Like, going to, I think, the Chargers actually was a good move. You know, you got a team that just pretty much got rid of their whole receiving core. Mike Williams is gone. You know, Keenan Allen's gone. They needed some players. You got, obviously, you know, I guess you would call it a, I'm not sold on, but they got their first receiver off the board in McConkey. And again, not sold on completely. I like the kid, but I think Brandon Rice was a good spot for this draft pick, especially in the seventh round. You didn't have to put a lot of value into it. You get a receiver that I think if he has anywhere near the work ethic and ability that his dad had, you're going to get a stud. Especially in the seventh round. Think about it. Jerry Rice was drafted late, just like his son was. And what did Jerry Rice end up doing? He used it as motivation. You know, I'm not trying to put all this pressure on this kid, but come on. Like, it's a very similar story of what ended up happening, you know, and you've got a kid that I think has the chance to have opportunity because there isn't a super large amount of crazy talent coming out of that receiving room. Like, I like Josh Palmer. Don't get me wrong. Jalen Guyton's there. Quentin Johnston. I still have some hope. I'm still, you know, got a little bit of hope. You know, like, there's nothing that's could prevent Brendan Rice to actually have a value even this season. You know, you've still got training camp. You still got things coming up, and we'll see how the depth charts end up playing out. But Brendan Rice landed in a spot that he actually could have potential value even in the seventh round. So for me, I thought this was a great spot. I have drafted him in one league of mine in the late third because I said, screw it. I'm going to get Jerry Rice's son because why not? Like, this kid is in the perfect spot. So I really like this landing spot for him. And especially, again, his draft capital is so low, he can fall to you or be on waivers. And I think that's he's worth the risk grabbing because there's nobody who's really replacing these receivers. And I think Rice is one of them. I think that's where this is going to play out.
I definitely agree with you, man. That's a really good take. And I think, you know, Harbaugh coming brings a lot of guys from Michigan. I don't think it's like, you know, when we talk about players tied to a coach, I don't think nobody's really tied there, right? This is his first year, Harbaugh. So, hey, even though you're a rookie, you got as good a shot to make a good impression as anybody else on that team. And like Steve mentioned, you know, they do have a couple, you know, toss-ups. Josh Palmer, we've seen him be great, flashes in a pan. Then we've seen him fall off the face of the earth for half a season. Quentin Johnston, yeah, I still like him too, but, you know, maybe he just doesn't hit. Maybe he's Mike Williams. Mike Williams for the Chargers 2017 did not have a significant by any means rookie year, and then went on to be great in his tenure for the Chargers. So a lot of ways this could go, but I do like Rice, and I expect him to have some fantasy relevance there, being Jerry Rice's son. I just figure it's good for the sport. Looking at my crystal ball again, I could see his name being called by the announcer. So I like it too. I think there's definitely, when we talk about opportunity, that's big here in the seventh round. You know, nobody's guaranteed anything. So if you're guaranteed a little bit of opportunity, I like that. So I back that. And I think he has a good pedigree, big receiver. I think that's what they need over there. And I'm not scared of being a rookie. I think he's a little bit, you know, growing up in the lifestyle that he was Jerry Rice's son, I think he's a little bit more veteran than other rookies, you know, if that makes sense. So I like Rice a lot. I'm going to go with another wide receiver here. Not trying to emulate Puka, you know. Listen, if you're looking for this year, Sam Laporta, it's going to be tough. Like, don't – 1 year, things changed year to year. So it's – you know, we don't have to find Puka here. We got to find somebody who can, you know, have opportunity and make do with what little opportunity they have. And I mentioned about Troy Franklin before going to Denver. Now I see Devon Vele from Utah ended up going to the Broncos too. And if you remember what I said earlier, I don't see Sutton staying. Even if he does, I don't see him like being a target hog and having this crazy year, even producing the same numbers, let alone better than last year. So yeah, maybe Mims doesn't hit. Marvin Mims is not a volume receiver. He's like a deep, I play in return yard leagues. Like, I think in those kind of leagues, he absolutely will hit this year. But when we talk about volume, really don't have much there in Denver. So when we want opportunity, again, nothing's guaranteed with these seventh rounders. But if Vele is able to show out in OTAs and in training camp and be somebody, I think like last year, even Jaleel McLaughlin at the running back position was undrafted. But Denver, you know, put a little vote of confidence in him. It didn't matter draft capital, like how late he was. He wasn't even drafted, but they gave him a shot, you know. So, like, that's what we're looking here, looking for here is just a shot. Not going to say anything's going to throw to the wall and stick, but, hey, you never know, it might. Puka Nacua last year, all he needed – I told a buddy. I literally was in – I was like, man, I can't drop anybody. But I think the best player available right now based on opportunity is Puka. And he ended up picking up Puka in there. Now I'm in week seven, trading him like Rashid Rice and, you know, Devontae Smith for Puka, who I told him to pick up. So opportunity is key. I think that's most important here. And I think Vele has the opportunity to be not only on the field, but on your fantasy teams as well.
Yeah, I mean, just like anything else, like when you've got a new regime, like Sean Payton's second year now going into Denver, like he wants his guys, you know, and that matters. And you're talking about a receiving team, receiving core that really doesn't have a super large amount of like top tier talent. So like anybody can fight to get a spot there. So yeah, I think that could be a nice little move there. Who I didn't like in as far as their landing spot was Jaheim Bell from Florida State. I felt like as a talented tight end, I thought he could have gotten to a different landing spot. You go to a team that's got Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, like you've got players there that are already established and have veteran presence and a role that they're going to be in. Bell doesn't necessarily fall into that position. I would have loved to have seen Bell go to like Cincinnati. I thought that was going to be a great spot for him because I think they could have used his talent at tight end because he's got some big play abilities. He was one of my favorite tight ends coming into this draft, and he ends up being near the end of the draft, which hurts my heart because I loved what he was able to do at Florida State. So I just didn't love the landing spot. I mean, I felt, man, New England was not where I wanted to see this guy go. I felt, again, Cincy was a good spot. New York Jets were a good spot. Like, there were teams that need a tight end that could, you know, he can get 35 to 50 receptions and have some good value in that role. But now he's now the third on the depth chart and really essentially is now kind of negated as far as fantasy goes.
You know what? I repeat that. I back that. And to my thing is history. History, like looking at the Patriots, when have they had a successful tight end? It might happen this year. It might be Bobby Okereke. But guess what? I'm going to stand on that hill until I'm wrong. So, I definitely think there's better opportunities. Now, when we talk about a chance to play, I think he's, you know, that may be a better team for him to get on the field. But, you know, as far as upside, as far as how good can he be as a fantasy tight end, hey, I wasn't counting on rookie tight ends, Laporta, Kincaid. I wasn't last year. I said, oh, rookie tight end. You know, so maybe crazier things have happened. But, yeah, you definitely have to be on the field to be successful. He can do that. But You know, with maybe the tides changed. Now they have different quarterbacks, new head coach, maybe. But still, I'm just going to stay on that hill until I'm wrong. So I'm out on him. And one other guy that I thought, not really disrespect to him, I don't want to say that, Taj Washington here out of USC. You know, that Miami drafts him in the seventh round, but one guy I liked that really clouded things up for Taj Washington now is Malik, what was his last name? In the round before from Virginia Tech. Malik Washington.
Yeah, right?
Malik Washington. I think that's the guy, like when we talk about Miami, we talked about Jonnu Smith when he got signed to Miami. It's like, wow, he has some speed at the tight end. They're a speedy offense, right? I think Malik Washington could definitely earn some looks there, like maybe a poor man's, well, maybe even man's Pop Douglas, something like that. So maybe he gets a role in that offense and the speed that he has. That I know a couple of weeks ago there was big hype on him, maybe being like a third, fourth rounder. So slipped a little bit, but maybe is a late bloomer and somebody who we're going to be talking about here in 2024, especially in Dynasty.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talked about some great players. I thought we went, you know, we went through each round and talked about players that we loved and felt had some value that, may not be the mainstream name. And obviously players that we obviously weren't in love with. So next week we are going to talk defensive players. It's again, we are IDP. So we're going to obviously talk defensive players next week to help you guys out with any of your rookie thoughts and where these players are going and, you know, how they could have some value for your rookie drafts. Cause a lot of people are probably already started or getting ready to start their rookie drafts. So again, we got some great content. Now, if you guys want even more content like this, whether it be podcasts, YouTube videos, articles, again, like I'm working on some articles right now for IDP, make sure you guys sign up for your subscription right now at idpplus.com. You can get a first month subscription for $1. So all you have to do is go to checkout, add the promo code mock draft, and your first month will be $1. And I guarantee you, you will love what you get for $1. There is nothing you can get nowadays for $1. You can't even buy a pack of gum. I was disappointed. You can't even get that. So for $1, give yourself the advantage. Get the ability to get all this analysis that we're giving you, not just through obviously things like this, but also our articles. Get update, you know, rankings and different things like that for $1. So that way you're getting ahead of the curve, getting ahead of your league mates. And that way, you again, once you do that dollar, I guarantee you're going to keep that subscription. We've got stuff going all off season, during the season. There's so much stuff that we add value for you guys. So again, make sure you guys do that, please. And then read our articles, listen to our beautiful voices. If you guys haven't, make sure you guys are following me on X. I'm AVGJoes_FF. And make sure you guys are following Johnny at Johnny freaking F1. Subscribe to the channel. Don't be crazy. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button. And we'll be back for some defensive players next week.
Bless up, guys. Definitely sign up for the rookie. $1. You know, cancel it after if you want. You're guaranteed you're going to be rocking with us. A pack of gum might not be $1, but this $1 might help you win $3,300, whatever your pot is. So thanks for rocking with us. We look forward to talking about rookies next time.